He is the way. Follow him through the land of unlikeness, and you will see rare beasts and have unique adventures. He is the truth. Seek him in the kingdom of anxiety, and you will come to a great city that has expected your return for years. He is the life. Love him in the world of the flesh, and at your marriage, all its occasions shall dance for joy. Auden. There are two shades of Christmas, and both are blessed. The search for truth and the gift of grace are both blessed. Elizabeth and Mary, John and Jesus, the true and the good, both and all are blessed. In Luke's gospel, by God's healing of the world in Christ, who is both holy and lowly. There are two trails to Christmas, that of doubt and that of faith. And in this morning's gospel, following earlier separate scenes, the two stories come together. John and Jesus, prophet and pastor, doubt and faith, two sorts of Christmas. John soon to be out by the river, Jesus soon to be in his father's house. David Brooks this week wrote a lengthy, compelling essay about this combination and faith and the yearning, the longing, the desire for the divine therein. At one Christmas party, a soon-to-graduate theological student talked about returning to her home in the south central part of the country and her impending interview before her board of ministry. What will they ask you about the documentary hypothesis or the second aorist or the synoptic problem or the teleological suspension of the ethical or the art of preaching? No, she said, they will ask me, why did you go to Boston? And her reply then might be, well, because at Boston University, I can search for truth and affirm God's grace. I can combine the necessity of doubt with the promise of faith. Hers would be a Christmas faith, a Christmas answer. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Evidence, spiritual things, truth, grace, doubt, faith. First, doubt. One dimension of Christmas begins with the search for truth and therefore with the real experience of doubt. For today, then, a full look at what troubles us and all of us, violence and greed and silence and all. At our worst, we are so anxious and fearful of what has become of our fragile planet that we burrow into feverish work, feverish drink, feverish sex, feverish exchange, getting and spending. And now, come this Christmas Sunday, one does not see the Word made flesh fully abroad and lurking down in the psyche and the collective unconscious. Is the worried fear, the prospect of a single nuclear weapon somewhere, somehow, in the wrong, violent hand. That sort of anxiety makes even strong people inclined toward demagoguery, belittling, bullying simplicity in the rhetoric of culture, politics, religion, and life. That anxiety makes us forget the importance of institutions and the health and the well-being and the care of institutions, whether a marriage, a family, a business, a college, a company, or a country. Process matters. Due process matters greatly. Proven experience counts greatly. Excellent proven experience really counts. Morality matters. Telling the truth matters. And mocking the institution one aspires to lead does real damage. One wrote, a successful campaign against nihilism will have to resist nihilism itself, and we shall do so in the shades of faith. It will be a shame if it takes the current generation of 20-somethings half a lifetime to learn this, as apparently it has taken their parents. Traction in history requires institutions, and they require leadership that speaks with honest transparency, builds genial trust, and thereby waters the earth with goodwill, 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 a Lucan Christmas term, if there ever was one, in institutional form. The pervasive materialism and mindless consumption of a people hurtling down a highway focused on the speedometer and blind to the road ahead are a long way from Christmas. From every corner, we are encouraged to shop, to buy, but to give? Both would strengthen the economy, but in different ways. One leads toward commodity and the other toward community. It may be, one thinks, along the river that many, including all of us to some degree, have here and there gone astray, somehow left for a far country. As Gabriel Vahanian said of God 60 years ago, the symbols of faith have grown cold for the culture. Has such a fate of symbolic anachronism permanently infected Christmas? Is the whole symbol set, from angels to straw and all between, become simply a once-told tale? We know that symbols die, sometimes from neglect, sometimes from abuse, sometimes from both. It is hard to find evidence that the poor manger has all that much traction to shape a culture anymore. Wither wonder, wither generosity, wither morality. And here is my friend awash in grief for the tragic and inexplicable loss of a spouse. Here he is, years later, still caught in the flow and ebb of that unspeakable sorrow, that sorrow beyond sorrow. It is an empty time for this one and for many. It's an empty loss. It's a lack. It's one that many know better than any other truth. To hear again at Christmas the improbable predictions of Scripture, of Isaiah, say, about streams in the desert, is to this year just at the shoreline of what lies beyond. Frost so often had it right. When to the heart of man is it ever less than a treason to go with the drift of things, to yield with a grace to reason, and to bow and accept the end of a love or a season? Hurt. And from hurt comes doubt. Having in the churches exchanged much of our capacity in philosophical theology for a saltier but lighter mix of personal narratives and identity politics, we find ourselves scrambling a bit to respond to first-level questions about evidence, about suffering, about creation, about content, about God, about the divine presence. Like the earliest Christians, thinkers today do not fear the charge of atheism, nor should they. The search for truth by the presence of John the Baptist down by the river, is blessed at Christmas. In the dark, in the lack, in the longing, in the loss, the old phrase stands, nihil humanum. Nothing human is foreign to us. Emptiness, unabated though, is a long way from Christmas. So here then is one Christmas trail and tale, a search for truth and an honest experience of doubt. The honesty and the courage of this account need naming, although in your doubt, just how sure are you come Christmas? In the moonlight with the shimmering lights and a light wind and a faint call of carolers and other mystery, spirit, the luminous, numinous, a little faith tracks the trail of every doubt, and sometimes come Christmas, even causes us to doubt our doubts. All along the river of doubt, that is, there is a shimmering something else alongside, mystery, being, spirit. And all the cultured doubt of a late modern post-Christian culture still does not erase what is just beyond saying, just beyond knowing, just beyond hearing. That is, doubt is shadowed by faith. Another sort of Christmas begins with the gift of faith, with a full hearing for wonder and care and peace. Your Christmas trail may be ecclesiastical and not cultural, indoors and not outdoors, by candlelight and not moonlight. You may be a cradle Christian at Christmas or a cradle Christmas Christian, and then your trail would move not along the river but along the rail. All failure, folly, and horror bracketed for the moment. There is the start of this trail in the carols of the English tradition, in candles to evoke the numinous, in word and sacrament to mirror heaven. And every year, come Advent, leaning toward Christmas, as at no other time of the year, there is an awareness of lasting life. The world does not lack for wonders, but only for a sense of wonder, as Chesterton so often repeated. The world does not lack for wonders, but only for a sense of wonder. And it is the imagination, that quality of heart and mind so necessary to being human, which quickens again here in the sanctuary, in the pew, along the communion rail. Step ahead just for a moment, as sometimes we do, to hear the gospel again, read it again, moving the page itself into this heart of this loving, gracious, talented chapel community. Wonder still appears on the candlelit faces uplifted at Christmas, on Christmas Eve, 1 p.m., 7 p.m., please come, Tuesday, by the way. Good deeds, selfless and real, emanate still from hearts, homes, and communities of faith. Generosity, both of spirit and of wallet, emerges again in December. And now the passage read from Luke for this Sunday prepares us for the very birth of Christ. Here is Elizabeth, the mother of the one on the river, and Mary, the mother of the one at the rail. And there are two kinds of Christmas, that of John and that of Jesus, and both are blessed. one in the cold light of reason, and one in the warm heart of love. Both are good, both needed. Even in utero, according to this Lucan narration, John the Baptist is aware of, we might say prophetically aware of, the unborn Messiah. But there is a palpable portent of possibility shot through all of this strange reading. And we shall honor by acceptance its strange, numinous portent, pregnant with potential for the future. For the gospel creates its own audience in the audience of its announcement, and grace renders a sense of imagination that quiet surrender of the self to the Spirit of God. The lessons of Holy Scripture teach us and form us. Hear the phrases. One of the littlest clans of Judah, lift up the lowly, a body you have prepared, a town in the hill country. The earlier prophecy from Micah recalled David, born in Bethlehem, and was taken by primitive Christianity as a prediction of the Christ. The whole of the book of Micah realistically portrays the limits of human goodness. And yet, the image of the shepherd stays with us and stands out. And a shepherd leads by example. Here is care in the giving of money. Here is care in taking coat and cloak as well and going the second mile. Here is care, waking in the morning with hope and praying into the night with hope. Here is care, investing what can cross the bridges of difference. Here is care, the ability to see one's own hurt and suffering to some degree as part of a larger labor pain, the birth of the future. For every heart has secret sorrows. So pause too at the epistle, the letter to the Hebrews, and its early portent, even at Christmas, of the sorrow and struggle to come, to conclude. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit in faith. In faith, we have a way forward, even in the face of other ways forward that do not seem to go forward. Every day we can live a changed life. Peace comes through peacemakers. So let us seek and then live out a Christmas faith. In our own lives, let us in faith eschew any first strikes on the cheek or on the character or on the person. In our own lives, let us eschew any selfful, unilateral action that is not cognizant of circumstance. In our own lives, let us free ourselves personally from acting in overweening ways and ways that use people and love things rather than loving people and using things, as Augustine put it. In our own lives, let us learn patiently to plan, to foresee with forbearance, and so practice Niebuhr's spiritual discipline against resentment. For here is Christmas faith. In church and gospel and letter, we may surely affirm the gifts of faith at Christmas: wonder in silence, care amid greed, peace in a time of violence. And yet, lest faith curdle to blind faith and the gift of faith into the wrapping of fideism, we may take the test of reason with us too, a pinch of doubt with us too. Test the spirits, says the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. And while Luke surely means to place Jesus above John, and that without a doubt, Luke nonetheless makes full space for both kinds of Christmas. And there are two shades of Christmas coming soon to a home near you, one of Elizabeth and one of Mary, one of John and one of Jesus, one of river and one of rail. And yours may be one tinged by faith, though still amply full of some doubt. And yours may be one tinged by doubt, though still fully robust in faith. And both are blessed, both are true, and both are good. And we might add, if your Christmas is of the indoor variety, then take a walk in the moonlight. And if your Christmas is of the outdoor variety, come into the beauty of a sanctuary at night. It takes a poet to get this middle voice, this reflexive, this nuanced announcement in the right key. So as we began, we do end. He is the way. Follow him through the land of unlikeness, and you will see rare beasts and have unique adventures. He is the truth. Seek him in the kingdom of anxiety. You will come to a great city that has expected your return for years. He is the life. Love him in the world of the flesh, and at your marriage, all its occasions shall dance for joy. Amen.